This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين مرحبا بكم جميعا في هذه الحلقة May Allah سبحانه وتعالى bless you bless your time bless your families نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يوفقنا لكل خير So as it was announced we'll be talking about the voluntary prayers inshallah the nawafil that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do or he used to encourage the ummah to perform and what are the different nawafils that are prescribed in the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so the ulama rahmatullahi alayhim when they speak about these nawafil these voluntary prayers they sometimes classify them in different types so they said some of them are legislated to be performed in congregation like مثلا التراويح or صلاه الاستسقاء prayer for rain and some of them are not legislated to be performed in congregation like صلاه الاستخاره for example some of them are meant to be linked or they are always actually linked to the mandatory prayers to the wajib prayers and these ones are usually called rawatib rawatib is the plural of word in arabic ratiba And ratiba is something coming from rataba, the verb rataba, wadaba, when you keep doing something on a regular basis. So this is called ratiba prayers, but there is some confusion here between what is highly recommended and what is not highly recommended. So all these prayers that are linked to the wajib prayer, we'll try to, inshallah, bi-ibnillahi ta'ala, remove this confusion tonight. And some of them are not linked to any mandatory prayers like duha prayer. Duha prayer, you do it in the morning after sunrise, at least 10 minutes to 15 minutes after sunrise till 5 or 10 minutes before zawal. So this time is for duha prayer and they are not linked to any mandatory prayers. And some of them have a specific time like al-witr. It's always at night. After you finish all your prayers, you complete all your nawafil at night, so you are supposed to end your prayer with witr prayer. And some of them has a reason. They have a specific reason, like the greeting of a masjid, tahiyyat al-masjid. When you come to the masjid, you are not supposed to sit down unless you pray two rak'ahs. Or if you start another prayer, that's okay. It will suffice against the tahiyyat al-masjid. Or the sunnah prayer after completing the wudu, or the sunnah prayer after completing tawaf around the Kaaba. So these prayers have a specific reason. Some of them have no specific time or reason like any other nawafil, any unconditional, unrestricted, voluntary prayers. You can do them at any time between Maghrib, between Fajr or sunrise and Zawal, or between Dhuhr and Asr, or at night after Isha. So they don't have any specific reason. And some of them are highly recommended, like al-witr, like al-duha, like the rawatib prayer. And some of them are just sunnah prayers, recommended sunnah prayers. So we have what is highly recommended. We have what is recommended sunnah prayers. You can call them bil-lugha al-arabiyya salat, salawat mustahabba. وَسُنَنْ مُؤَكَّدَ مُؤَكَّدَ highly confirmed or highly recommended. I don't want to use confirmed because some people, they could be confused about the ahadith. You know, when we say confirmed, are they confirmed by the ahadith of Rasulullah or not? So maybe we should say about the Sunnah Mu'akkada, highly recommended instead of confirmed. But when we use that, when we talk about the authenticity of the hadith, we can say if the hadith is confirmed or not. Now, what are the highly recommended rawatib sunnah prayers? So I'm using the rawatib prayer to indicate those that are highly recommended sunnah prayers, and they are linked to the wajib prayer or linked to the mandatory prayers. Basically, the choice, the opinion that I follow, is there are 12 prayers. This is the opinion that I follow, right? That there are 12 prayers. So, two before Fajr, four before Dhuhr, two by two, and then two after Dhuhr, and then two after Maghrib, and then two after Isha. These are as-sunan al-mu'akkada, wa tusamma as-sunan al-rawatib. So the highly recommended ratiba sunnah prayers. Ratiba, as I said, singular, plural, rawatib, is the same. Ratiba or rawatib is the same, right? It's something that a person does on a regular basis. So why they are highly recommended? Because Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam emphasized their importance, and he kept on doing them on a regular basis. The only time I think he left these prayers when he was traveling, with the exception of Witr and, for example, and Fajr prayer, Sunnah for Fajr prayer, he used to do it all the time. So what are the proofs for these 12 prayers? We have the hadith of Habiba. Who is Habiba? She was the wife of our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Her name is Habiba bintu Abi Sufyan radiallahu anhu. You know that Abu Sufyan used to be the leader of Quraysh, and he used to fight against Muslims for a while. He fought against Muslims for a while. And then at the end, he accepted Islam. When Mecca was conquered, he accepted Islam, and he died as a Muslim, Abu Sufyan. So his daughter, Habiba, accepted Islam before her parents. Her parents, Hind bint Utbah and Abu Sufyan, did not accept Islam till during the Fath of Mecca, when Mecca was, as I said, was conquered. During the 8th year of the Hijrah of Rasulullah, after the Hijrah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But Habiba radiallahu anha accepted Islam before them, before her parents, and she made Hijrah to Al-Habasha. Her husband passed away there, and then when she moved to Medina, she got married with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And she was the sister of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. So Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan is the brother-in-law of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Anyway, Habiba, she radiallahu anha, and he conveyed this message. She said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Man salla lillahi fi yawmin thintay ashara rak'a, bunya lahu baytun fil jannah. Bunya lahu baytun fil jannah." Riwaya ukhra, "Ma min abdin muslimin yusalli lillahi ta'ala kulla yawmin thintay ashara rak'atan تطوعاً غير الفريضة." So هذا الحديث يؤكد أنه we're not talking about الفريضة, we're talking about نوافل. Because she said تطوعاً غير الفريضة إلا بني له إلا بنى الله له بيتاً في الجنة. This hadith is found in Sahih Muslim and some other sources of hadith like Imam al-Tirmidhi. So the meaning of this hadith, whoever prays 12 rak'ahs of voluntary prayers in a day. And she said voluntary prayers here, so we're not talking about the mandatory prayers. Allah will build for him a house in Jannah. Allah will build for him a house in Jannah. And in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, and the hadith is sahih in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, Habiba radiallahu anha clearly told us about these 12 prayers. So we don't disagree about them. And she said four before Dhuhr, two rak'ahs after Dhuhr, two rak'ahs after Maghrib, two rak'ahs after Isha, and two rak'ahs before Fajr. So she clearly told us about these 12 rak'ahs. So you don't pray 12 rak'ahs at night and you say, okay, I fulfilled, you know, the recommendation of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, so I will get a house in Jannah. You might, but Habiba is talking about these 12 rak'ahs that we do before the prayer, the Faridah prayer, or after the Faridah prayer. She's talking about these 12 prayers, right? Now there is a second opinion. That's why I told you I follow the first opinion, which is there are 12 rak'ahs. The second opinion says that there are 10. There are 10 rak'ahs. The reason I'm talking to you about two opinions, because I don't want you to be confused if you check this mas'ala on the internet. I'm sure that you'll find these two opinions on the internet. So we want to sort it out. We want to know what is more correct. Wallahu ta'ala. It's not a big deal if you pray 10 rak'ahs. But if you pray 12, inshallah, you get the reward that was promised by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is a house in Jannah. But is it a house for praying these 12 rak'ahs on a regular basis, one house, or one house for every day? That's a 1 million question here, right? And we'll talk about it tonight, inshallah. So Ibn Umar, there is a second opinion that says there are 10 rak'ahs. They are not 12, right? We got it from Ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. Abdullah ibn Umar was a famous sahabi. He was the son of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. He was a faqih, great scholar. So he said, I memorized 10 rak'ahs from the Messenger of Allah, which he used to perform or pray during days and nights. And then he mentioned 2 before dhuhr and 2 after dhuhr, and the same prayers are the same, like Habiba, the hadith of Habiba, right? So instead of 4 before dhuhr, instead of 4, Habiba mentioned 4, right? Now Umar, Ibn Abdullah ibn Umar mentioned 2. Now how do we solve this problem here? It's easy to solve it. Why? Because we have Aisha radiallahu anha, she was a great faqiha, and she said, she confirmed what Habiba said, Aisha. Aisha radiallahu anha said, and this is in Sahih Muslim, she was asked about the voluntary prayers of the Messenger of Allah, and she said, he used to pray in my house 4 rak'ahs before dhuhr. He would go and lead the prayer in congregation, then he would come back to my house and pray 2 rak'ahs. So Aisha radiallahu anha confirmed what Habiba said. Now, I'll tell you why the opinion of the wives of the Prophet is better than the opinion of Abdullah ibn Umar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to encourage Muslims to pray the nawafil at home. And he used to do them at home, right? Aisha is confirming that he used to pray 4 at home. Then he would go and lead the people in congregation. He would come back to my home, to my house, and pray 2 rak'ahs. And he himself, he said, النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام قال أفضل صلاة المرء في بيته حديث متفق عليه إلا المكتوبة. He said the best, the most excellent prayer for a person is the one that he performs in his house, except for the mandatory prayers, the 5 daily prayers. So the 5 daily prayers, we are supposed to do them in the masjid, right? But the other sunan, Rasulullah ﷺ, he said, bless your houses with your salat. Do your nafila prayer at home, right? And this is the sunan. It's okay if you do them in the masjid. Like most of the people who come to the masjid, they do their nawafil in the masjid, even though we mentioned many times that it's better to do them at home, but I don't know why. Yeah, people are insisting on doing it in the masjid. They like to do it like right away after Isha, after Maghrib, and then leave. I mean, if you have to do something, you have to go somewhere, that's okay. You're staying in your office, you're doing something, go do some shopping, that's okay, you do them in the masjid. But if you're going back home, maybe you should follow the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ and do them at home. But the point is, the reason I believe that 12 rak'ahs is more, the opinion that says there are 12 rak'ahs is more correct. Why? Because Aisha radiallahu anha and Habiba, they were the wives of the Prophet. They were familiar with his sunnah at home. They knew the number of the rak'ahs he used to pray at home. Abdullah ibn Umar is a sahabi. He doesn't have access to his private life at home. So he was trying to memorize this sunnah and watch and observe the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was able to memorize only these 10 rak'ahs radiallahu anhu. So I would say the opinion of Aisha and Habiba is better than the opinion of Abdullah ibn Umar. And by the way, it's better to do 12 than doing 10, right? Because the hadith says if you pray 12, a house will be built for you in Jannah, right? The hadith didn't say 10. The hadith said 12, right? If you do these 12, you are promised a house in Jannah. Now the question is it one house for doing these 12 rak'ahs every day, or is it one new house for every 12 rak'ahs? One new house for every 12 rak'ahs. By the way, everyone will have a shelter in Jannah. Everyone will have a house in Jannah, right? But this is something extra. But is it one or an extra house every, like an extra house every day for every 12 rak'ahs? Now the ahadith, the answer to this question was not explicitly stated by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is something that we need to understand. Whatever I give you, whatever answer I give you today, is not, yani, confirmed, 100%. It's not 100%. Is what I am inclined to, right? And what I prefer, because the ulama, who are more knowledgeable than myself, are divided. Some of them, they said 12 one house for every 12 rak'ahs. And another group of scholars said it is one house for those who keep doing these 12 rak'ahs on a regular basis. Right? So, why? Because some ahadith indicated that this reward is given to the one who performs these 12 rak'ahs during one day. Some ahadith, like the hadith of Habiba. She said one day, right? If you do them for one day, a house will be built for you in Jannah. There are some ahadith which indicated that this house is for the one who keeps on doing these 12 rak'ahs on a regular basis. Man wadaba ala 12 rak'ah. Man wadaba, the one who keeps on doing. So the answer here to this question, as I said, is not clear. However, I am inclined towards the first opinion, that a person will get a new house for every 12 rak'ahs. That means if you do them every day, if my opinion and the opinion of those scholars who chose this opinion, if they are right, for 365 days for the whole year, you get 365 houses. Let's say you miss these prayers for two months. Say you get only 300 houses every year. 300, yeah. For 10 years. How many houses? 3,000 houses. For 20 years, 6,000. If you do them for 40 years, that's 12,000. 12,000 houses. Now, the reason I am inclined towards this opinion, the first group of hadiths are more authentic than the second group of hadiths. The first group of hadiths, like they are in Sahih Muslim. The other ones are not in Sahih Muslim. Sahih Muslim is a reliable source of hadith, right? Number one. The second reason is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the eternal, kingdom of paradise, He described it with some important terms. We need to pay attention to the terms that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used. In Surah Al-Insan, for example, وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ ثَمَّ رَأَيْتَ نَعِيمًا وَمُلْكًا كَبِيرًا مُلْكًا كَبِيرًا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not talking about small garden. He's not talking about one house. He's talking about a kingdom, a vast kingdom, a vast kingdom. So 12,000 houses will fit into this description very well, right? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the na'im. If you look around, this is in Surah Al-Insan. You look around and you would see a bliss or a delight and a vast kingdom. A great kingdom, a great dominion. Now there are some young people. One time I read the question of one sister. She sent a question to one of the imams. And she told him, don't you think that staying in one small garden forever, eternally, would be something very boring? This is the understanding of some young people about Jannah. We need to really expand our knowledge about Jannah. Allah is talking about a vast kingdom. He's not talking about a house, one or two or three. Now, There is a hadith that is muttafaq alayh about the last person who will enter Jannah. I want you to compare here. The last person who will enter Jannah. This person was in hellfire, and he is the last person who would leave hellfire, and he will go into Jannah. That means he will have the lowest, this person will have the lowest ranking in Jannah. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and this is a Qudsi hadith, that's why we said Allah was talking to him. And that's why you say it's a Qudsi hadith. He said, إِنَّ لَكَ مِثْلَ الدُّنْيَا وَعَشْرَةَ أَمْثَالِهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him, you will have similar to the world and 10 words like it. You will have similar to the world, to this worldly life. This person will be the last person to enter Jannah. His kingdom in Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describe it this way, you will have something similar to the worldly life and 10 times like it. You know what did he say? What was his reaction? This person? This is what Rasulullah said, and he was laughing when he was talking about the reaction of this person. أَتَهْزَأُ بِي وَأَنْتَ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. He said, are you making fun of me? And you are the Lord of the world? So this person will not believe it. This is the last person entering Jannah. When Allah told him this, or will tell him this, he will think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mocking him, is making fun of him. Right? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was smiling or laughing when he mentioned this hadith. So how about those who will be in the higher, who will have a higher status in Jannah? Right? So it's not, Jannah, it's not about one house or two. That's why I'm inclined towards the first opinion, which says, it is a house, new house, for every 12 rak'ahs. And do it, if this opinion is correct, then you will be extremely happy on the Day of Judgment. Right? Even if it is one house, you will do it, right? Because it is highly, these are sunan mu'akkada, highly recommended prayers. Rasulullah ﷺ used to do them on a regular basis. Now let's talk a little bit about matters that are related to this sunan in general. The sunan, the highly recommended sunan that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to do. The first question is, we're still talking about the 12 rak'ahs. What is the most important prayer among these highly recommended ratiba sunnah prayers? In your opinion, what is the most important among them, among the 12 rak'ahs? Na'am? Fajr, yes, that's the right answer. Fajr are the most important prayers among these 12 rak'ahs. More greater attention was given to these two rak'ahs of the sunnah for Fajr prayer. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or Aisha actually, radiyallahu anha, she said, لم يكن رسول الله على شيء من النوافل أشد معاهدة من الركعتين قبل الفجر. She said, لم يكن على شيء من النوافل أشد معاهدة من الركعتين قبل الصبح. هذا موجود في البخاري ومسلم. حديث آخر قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, هما أحب إلي من الدنيا وما فيها. هما أحب إلي من الدنيا وما فيها. In the first hadith, Aisha رضي الله عنها, she said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was not more concerned and did not pay attention to any of the optional prayers like he did for the two rak'ahs, before the Fajr prayer. So he used to do them on a regular basis, right? And in a different hadith, he said, they are more beloved to me. Look at this statement. More beloved to me than the dunya and everything in it. They are more beloved to me than this dunya and anything in it. About these two rak'ahs, short, light two rak'ahs that he used to offer before Fajr prayer. And this is in Sahih Muslim. Why? Maybe their reward is excellent. Allahu A'lam. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared great reward for those who offer these two rak'ahs before Fajr prayer. Now, are we supposed to shorten these two rak'ahs? Yes, this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even if we know that they are great two rak'ahs, it's a great prayer in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to love these two rak'ahs. He used to do them on a regular basis. But at the same time, he used to shorten them. Then we have to follow his sunnah alayhi salatu wa sallam. And this is what Aisha again, confirmed. She said that he used to pray 13 rak'ahs at night. Sometimes 11, sometimes 13. That was his sunnah alayhi salatu wa sallam. ثم يصلي إذا سمع النداء بالصبح ركعتين خفيفتين. هذا الحديث في أبو داود. وفي حديث آخر كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي ركعتين خفيفتين بين النداء والإقامة من صلاة الصبح. So she said رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم used to offer two light rak'ahs. She said light rak'ahs, short rak'ahs between the adhan and the iqama of the fajr prayer. This is in Bukhari. Now, what to recite? What is the sunnah when it comes to recitation? What do we recite in these two rak'ahs? So, in the first rak'ah, Surah Al-Kafirun, after Al-Fatiha. In the second rak'ah, Surah Al-Ikhlas, after Surah Al-Fatiha. Some other times, Rasulullah SAW would recite the ayah, one ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah, which is 136 from Surah Al-Baqarah, in the first rak'ah, and in the second rak'ah after Al-Fatiha, he would recite ayah 64 from Surah Ali Imran, just one ayah. So one ayah in the first rak'ah from Surah Al-Baqarah, one ayah from Surah Ali Imran, 64, in the second rak'ah. Most of the time would be Surah Al-Kafirun and Surah Al-Ikhlas. If you are in hurry, you have only 2 minutes before the Iqama is done, you can pray, just recite Al-Fatiha. Al-Fatiha in the first rak'ah, Al-Fatiha in the second rak'ah, if you want to catch Al-Jama'ah. Now the fourth point, are we supposed to pray any extra prayer after we offer the Sunnah of Fajr prayer? Here people are confused. When they come to the masjid, if they pray this sunnah, some people, not all of them, some brothers are confused about this mas'ala. Now the answer to this question, no, we're not supposed to offer any prayer. But there is one exception, which is Tahiyyat al-Masjid. And here, the confusion is here. Some brothers, they believe that for Fajr prayer, when they come to the masjid for Fajr prayer, they are not supposed to pray Tahiyyat al-Masjid. That's okay if you pray Tahiyyat al-Masjid. Because Tahiyyat al-Masjid has a reason. You're offering Tahiyyat al-Masjid because you are entering the mosque, you're entering the masjid, and you are supposed to offer two rak'ahs before you sit down, right? This is if you pray the sunnah of Fajr at home. But if you come to the masjid and you pray the sunnah of Fajr in the masjid, then maybe it's better to pray the sunnah of Fajr and that's it. You don't have to pray Tahiyyat al-Masjid. But if you pray Tahiyyat al-Masjid and you pray the sunnah of Fajr, that's fine. There is nothing wrong with that. Right? Because Tahiyyat al-Masjid has a specific reason. This is not, a volunteer prayer that you want to add by yourself. Right? So, but the answer is, you're not supposed to pray any other voluntary prayer. If you pray these two rak'ahs, you wait for Salat al-Fajr. Unless you are coming to the masjid, as I said. And what is the proof for that? Hafsa, in Sahih Muslim, she said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا طلع الفجر لا يصلي إلا ركعتين خفيفتين. هذا الحديث موجود في صحيح مسلم. حديث حفصة. حفصة بنت عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه. She used to be the daughter of Umar ibn Khattab, and she used to be also one of the wives of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And by the way, he married multiple wives in the city of Medina for this reason. One of the two reasons. But I know the conclusion that I reach myself, that Allah allowed him to get married with multiple wives in the city of Medina for two reasons. One of them is this, that this woman will have access to his private life and they will tell us about his sunnah. And there will be a group of them watching him and observing him all the time. If Aisha misses something, then Salama will get it, will know about it. If Hamsa misses something, then Habiba will pay attention to it, and so on and so forth. A group of women around him, while his wives, not in Mecca, there was no need for that. That's why he got married with one wife, Khadija radiallahu anha. When she died, he got married with Sauda, one wife. But in Medina is a different story. In Mecca, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to reveal to him what? Matters of aqeedah. Matters of aqeedah, faith, belief, right? And the Sahaba outside his home, outside his private life, they used to know about these tenets of faith, right? Jannah and Nar. The moment he tells them, he shares with them the Quran that was revealed about Jannah and Nar and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, previous messengers, they would know, memorize the Quran and would know. In Medina, Allah, now he's building a state. He's building community. He was building community, right? Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is revealing to him rules about zakat, about Ramadan, teaching him some extra prayers and so on. So there is a life that was built in Medina, communal life, right? And the Sahabas, radiallahu anhum, did not have access to his private life at home. Who will have this private access to this private life? His wives. And they were supposed to memorize his sunnah because he's the final messenger. There will be no messenger who will come after him. He will be the final guide to humanity. And we needed to know every details. We knew even how he used to take ghusl with his wife Aisha. Who would talk to people about the way he takes ghusl with his wife? This is very private. But there is no privacy for him. We need to know about his life. We need to know about his life. Because we need to follow, we have the obligation to follow his sunnah. So don't get confused when people start attacking your messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam about getting married to many wives or multiple wives in the city of Medina. That was allowed for a specific reason. I said one of them is this. But on a different occasion, if you want, we can talk about the second reason, inshallah. Now, the other question is, what do we do when we miss the sunnah of Fajr prayer? What do we do when we miss, if we miss it? We don't pray it before the faridah. We have two options. The first option is to do them immediately after the salat is over. The second option is to wait until sunrise, 10 minutes, 15 minutes after sunrise, and you can do the sunnah prayer. And both of them, both options are fine, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. However, some ulama, they said, it could be better to do them after sunrise. To wait until sunrise is over, and then 10 minutes, 15 minutes, at least 10 minutes. Do not pray, do not offer any prayer after sunrise, before 10 minutes have passed. You have to wait at least 10 minutes. Don't pray after like 7 minutes or 6 minutes. Do not. You will be taking a risk because we're not supposed to offer any prayer at that time when the sun is rising, right? So at least you wait for 10 minutes. If you want to be in the safe side, make them 12, 13, 14, 15 minutes or 20 minutes. Now the ulama who said, you know, it's better maybe to do them after sunrise because there is a hadith. They said, مَنْ لَمْ يُصَلِّ رَكْعَتَي الْفَجْرِ فَلْيُصَلِّهِمَا بَعْدَمَا تَطْلُعُ الشَّمْسِ. So this hadith is found in Sunan Tirmidhi. Some ulama, they said this hadith could be sahih, and therefore it could be better to do them after sunrise. وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَعْلَمْ. He said, Rasulullah s.a.w. in this hadith, whoever did not pray the two rak'ahs of the sunnah for fajr, let him pray them after sunrise. Those ulama who said this hadith is sahih, they said it's better to do them after sunrise, right? But we have another hadith, Qais al-Ansari, a sahabi, who offered these two rak'ahs immediately after Fajr prayer. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw him doing these two rak'ahs. And he said, what are you doing after he finished? He said, I prayed the sunnah of Fajr. I missed it before Fajr. I just did it right now. And Rasulullah ﷺ kept quiet. He didn't say anything, which is an approval. And his approval is part of the sunnah. He approved what he did. If it was wrong, he would tell him, yeah, don't do it again. Or he would have told him, do not do it. Do not do them again. Right? So we have this proof and we have this proof. That's why the ulama, they said, you have the choice. If you're going to work, you do them immediately after Fajr, right? If you're going to work. But if you have time, you can, you're going home and you have time, maybe you do them after sunrise, it's up to you. So both options are fine. Now let's talk about the sunnah for dhuhr prayer, the rawatib. The rawatib, the sunnah rawatib, or the highly recommended rawatib sunnah prayers for dhuhr prayer, right? There are four rak'ahs, we said before, we follow the opinion of 12 rak'ahs, right? So we said four rak'ahs before dhuhr and two rak'ahs after dhuhr. Now there are many proofs that are, you know, when we say highly recommended, it is something that Rasulullah ﷺ emphasized, as I said, with his statement. And also he used to do them on a regular basis. This is what is called highly recommended. Because there are some other sunan, they are not highly recommended. But they are part of the sunnah that we are supposed to do if we want, if we wish, we are supposed to do them also on a daily basis if you wish, if we wish to do them. So about, we have the hadith of Habiba radiallahu anha and Aisha. And they clearly mentioned that he used to do four, or he highly emphasized the importance of praying four rak'ahs before dhuhr and two rak'ahs after dhuhr. So we have this proof, the hadith of Habiba and the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. And also Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, this is a very strong statement. كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يدعو أربعا قبل الظهر وركعتين قبل الغداة. Bukhari and Muslim. She said the Prophet never left. That's why the ulama, when they see this statement, never left, he said this is highly recommended. This is sunnah mu'akkada. He never left four rak'ahs before dhuhr and two rak'ahs before fajr prayer. And Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu also confirmed this sunnah. He said, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي قبل الظهر أربعا وبعدها ركعتين. This is in Tirmidhi and Nasa'i and some other sources of the hadith. Ali radiallahu anhu confirmed the same thing, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to pray four rak'ahs before dhuhr and two rak'ahs after dhuhr. Now, how do we offer the four rak'ahs before the dhuhr prayer? This is also a matter of disagreement between brothers and sisters coming from different cultures, from different environments, following different madhahib, different opinions. Do we do them two by two? That means we say salam after two rak'ahs, and then we pray another two rak'ahs, and we say salam, we offer the salam. Or we do four rak'ahs in a row with one taslim. One taslim. So there are two opinions here, right? And what I follow is that we are supposed to do them two by two. This is well confirmed in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is the opinion of the majority of Muslim scholars. Among them, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad, and Imam Shafi'i. All these three imams and majority of Muslim scholars, they said we are supposed to pray two rak'ahs. We offer the salam and then do another two rak'ahs. This is how we offer the four rak'ahs. Now, why these said that? Because of the famous hadith in which Rasulullah said, Salatul layli wal nahari mathna mathna. He said the prayers of the day and the night are supposed to be offered, or are to be offered two by two. This is a famous hadith. Now, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh and his two students, famous students, Abu Yusuf and Muhammad ibn Hassan al-Shaybani and some other scholars, they used to believe that these sunan are to be offered four rak'ahs in a row, like dhuhr prayer, right? They have their own proofs. Their proofs is another version of the hadith that I mentioned. I mentioned the hadith, Salatul Layli wa Nahari Mathna Mathna, right? The prayers of the day and the night are to be offered two by two. The version that Imam Abu Hanifa follows is another version of this hadith. The prayers of the night are to be offered two by two. He said there is no day here. So Rasulullah is talking about night prayer, right? He didn't mention the day prayer. And he said Abdullah ibn Umar used to offer four rak'ahs in a row. Abdullah ibn Umar, that was his ijtihad radiallahu anhu. But we don't have a proof, a clear proof, that Rasulullah offered four rak'ahs in a row. That was the practice of Abdullah ibn Umar. He used to do it sometimes. Right? So the ulama, the other ulama, are not saying it's haram to do four in a row. They're very flexible, very reasonable. They said it's better to do two by two. But if someone pray four rak'ahs in a row, it should be accepted. But it's better. It's better. This is what they say. It's better if you want to follow the sunnah. This is what is confirmed. Because we don't have a proof, a clear proof from Rasulullah that he offered four rak'ahs in a row with one salam. So what they say is, like Imam Ahmad, he was asked about these prayers. He said, what I prefer is that a Muslim would do two by two. Offer two rak'ahs, one salam, and another two rak'ahs, one salam. But if a person chooses to pray four rak'ahs in a row, that should be fine, inshallah. But this is what the ulama preferred, Imam Malik and Shafi'i and Imam Ahmad, wallahu ta'ala alam. So by the way, you know, the ulama, when they have disagreements, they have their own proofs. So we should always give them the benefit of doubt, right? And we treat them with respect, right? Now, so these are the sunan for dhuhr prayer. Four rak'ahs before, two by two. It's better to do them two by two. And two after dhuhr prayer. Now, the two rak'ahs after dhuhr prayer, and then after that, we have two after, so two before fajr, four before dhuhr, that's six, right? Two after dhuhr, the total will be eight. And then two after maghrib. These are the highly recommended, part of the 12 rak'ahs. Two after maghrib, and then two after isha. So these are the 12 highly recommended voluntary prayers that are connected to the mandatory prayers. And they are called rawatib or ratiba because Rasulullah ﷺ used to do them on a regular basis. Now let's talk about the regular sunnah prayers. So when I say regular, they are not highly recommended. But they are recommended if you want to do them. And we will learn from Rasulullah the way he used to talk about these regular sunnah prayers. Their numbers is 10. But 10, I wouldn't say 10 and put a restriction here. If you want to pray more, that's fine, it's up to you. But if you want to do the minimum of this regular sunan, that would be 10. Based on the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, their number would be 10. And we are supposed to do them on a daily basis. I mean, if you wish. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, actually, he used this term, if you wish. So he emphasized the importance of the 12, right? But regarding these 10, he said, if you wish. It's up to you. And these are the terms used by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first of these 10, there are two rak'ahs after dhuhr. So we have six highly recommended, four before dhuhr and two after dhuhr. We add to them another two, but they are not highly recommended. They are just recommended. Two. So the total becomes four before dhuhr and four after dhuhr. But six of them are highly recommended. Two of them are just as are recommended. If you wish, you can do them. So, but what is the dalil? Hadith, أظن أم حبيبة رضي الله عنها, she said, من حافظ على أربع ركعات قبل الظهر وأربع بعدها حرمه الله على النار. من حافظ على أربع قبل الظهر, أربع ركعات قبل الظهر وأربع بعدها حرمه الله على النار. So the hadith says, whoever observes the practice of performing four rak'ahs before dhuhr prayer and four after the dhuhr prayer, and four after the dhuhr prayer, Allah will forbid him or protect him from the fire of hell. So if you do four before dhuhr, that would be the highly recommended four. And then four after dhuhr, two highly recommended, two regular sunnah prayers. This is what you get. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you against the punishment of hellfire. This is the promise. And the hadith is sahih. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when talking about, by the way, about the four before dhuhr, if you miss them before dhuhr, you can do them after dhuhr. Aisha radiallahu anha qalat, كان إذا لم يصلي عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أربعا قبل الظهر صلاهن بعدها. Just in case you miss them before dhuhr, the four before dhuhr, you can do them after dhuhr. Now we have another four before asr. These are regular sunnah prayers. Four before asr. So we said two before dhuhr, we add them to the six, but six are highly recommended. Two just recommended prayers, and then we have four before asr. Sometimes when you tell them, people, you tell them, okay, I want to pray sunnah before asr, they tell you, sunnah? What kind of sunnah? Because they have in mind that we don't have any other sunnah beside the rawatib, the 12 rak'ahs. You tell them, like, I'm praying sunnah before asr. This is a sunnah, but it is not highly recommended. It's a regular sunnah, if you wish to do it. Now, the hadith about it, حديث عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال رحم الله امرأ صلى قبل العصر أربعا. May Allah have mercy on a man or a woman who prays four rak'ahs before asr prayer. The hadith, some ulama they said, we're not sure if it is sahih. Some ulama they said it is hasan. Some ulama they said it is sahih. So the ulama they said, some ulama classified the hadith as sahih, some of them hasan, maybe it's better to do it and include them in the sunan, regular sunan. Right? But if you miss them, that's okay. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do them. He used to pray four rak'ahs. There are Ali ibn Abi Talib confirmed that he used to pray four rak'ahs before, but it was not something that he would do on a regular basis. In a different hadith, Ali radiallahu anhu, so we have this hadith, but we have the confirmation of Ali that he used to sometimes pray four rak'ahs before asr. But they're not highly recommended. Right? And when it comes to any hadith that has a great reward, like مثلا here there is either a dua from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah have mercy on this person, or Allah will have mercy. Allah will show mercy to a person who prays four rak'ahs before. It's either a confirmation or a dua. If it is a dua, it would be Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making dua for the person who offers four rak'ahs before asr. If it is a confirmation, he would be confirming that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will include this person in his mercy. Right? So the ulama, they are not sure. They said, we are not sure if it is a confirmation or a dua made by Rasulullah. Either way, it's something good. It's something beautiful, right? But as I said, they are not highly recommended. If you wish to do them, it's beautiful. Regarding these ahadith that are controversial, like their message is beautiful, but they are controversial in terms of authenticity. We're not sure if they are authentic or not. Like, for example, the hadith which says, من استغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات كتب الله له بكل مؤمن ومؤمنة حسنة. Whoever makes استغفار or pray to Allah to forgive the believing man and the believing woman, Allah will give him a hasana, will write for him a hasana for every believing person, which is amazing. You just say, Allahumma ghafirli wa li walidayya wa lil mu'minina wal mu'minat. Oh Allah, forgive me and forgive my parents and forgive all the believers. Allah will give you a hasana for every believer. So if there are 1 billion believers, 2 billion believers on earth, how about if it includes those who passed away from the time of Adam till the day of judgment? Billions of hasanat, right? So this hadith, some ulama, they said, like Sheikh Al-Albani, rahmatullah alayhi, used to say this hadith is hasan, what I'm talking about now. Some ulama, they said, oh, we're not sure if it is hasan. So my message to people, do it. You have nothing to lose. It's something good. The messenger, prophets and messengers used to, Allah commanded them to pray to Allah to forgive the believers. So it's not something weird, it's not a bid'ah. It's something beautiful, do it. If the hadith is authentic or hasan, then you will be extremely happy on the day of judgment. So now the same rule apply to these four rak'ahs, right? The hadith that I shared here, some of them they said it's da'if, hasan, sahih. But we got a confirmation from Ali that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pray four rak'ahs before asr, right? So do them if you wish. And then inshallah you'll be included in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before Maghrib. Now, not after Maghrib. What is after Maghrib is? What is highly recommended, part of the 12 rak'ahs. Before Maghrib, we have two rak'ahs. But before Maghrib, the adhan or after the adhan? What is your answer? After the adhan. Before Maghrib, you are not supposed to pray any nafila. Right? There is no nafila between asr and Maghrib. So you have to wait till the adhan of al-Maghrib. So between the adhan and the iqama, you can pray two rak'ahs. Not highly recommended. Why? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, look at the terms used by Rasulullah. He used to say to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, صلوا قبل المغرب. صلوا قبل المغرب. ثم قال في الثالثة, صلوا قبل المغرب لمن شاء. لمن شاء. So he said, pray before Maghrib. And then at the end he said, this is for whoever wishes to pray. So if you want to pray, do two rak'ahs. In a different hadith that is in Sahih Muttafaq Alayh, he mentioned two rak'ahs. He said, صَلُّوا رَكْعَتَيْنِ قَبْلَ الْمَغْرِبِ أَوْ صَلُّوا قَبْلَ الْمَغْرِبِ رَكْعَتَيْنِ. And then he said, لِمَنْ شَاءَ, for whoever wants or wishes or wills. If you don't want, that's fine. But they're not highly recommended, but they are part of the recommended prayers during the day before Maghrib. Another two rak'ahs before Isha. They're not highly recommended, but they are part of the recommended prayers during the day. Why? Because the Rasul ﷺ made a general statement. They used this hadith as a proof that we are supposed to do two rak'ahs before, between adhan and iqama. He said, بَيْنَ كُلِّ أَذَانَيْنِ صَلَاتٍ بَيْنَ كُلِّ أَذَانَيْنِ صَلَاتٍ ثُمَّ قَالَ فِي الثَّالِثَ لِمَنْ شَاءَ. Bukhari and Muslim, muttafaq alayh. He said, between every two calls to the prayer or for the prayer, two calls يعني, the adhan and the iqama. Two calls, the adhan and the iqama. For the prayer, there is a salah. And then he said, for him who wishes to pray. For him who wishes to pray. That means if you come inside the masjid, pray tahiyyat al-masjid only, that's okay, that's fine, that is your choice. You don't want to do any nafila. Or at home, you're praying at home between adhan and iqama, you don't want to do this nafila, that's fine. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said they are optional. For him, whoever who wishes to pray. So these are the sunan. So we said two after dhuhr, we add them to the six. We do them after dhuhr, that's two. Four before asr, that's six. Two before maghrib, that's eight. And then two before isha, 10. So 10 plus 12, that would be 22. But again, there's no restriction here. We say 22, if you want to do 22, if you want to do more, it's up to you. If you want to stick to 12, that's fine. That is your choice. But the more you pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did we say in the first halaqah? You know, we mentioned some ahadith, beautiful ahadith, about the power of voluntary prayers. فَإِنَّكَ لَا تَسْجُدُ لِلَّهِ سَجْدَ إِلَّا رَفَعَكَ اللَّهُ بِهَا دَرَجَةً وَمَحَى عَنْكَ بِهَا سَيِّئَةً. So the hadith of Thawban radiallahu anhu, when he advised another tabi'i, he said, you will never make a sajda for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one time, except that Allah will raise your rank in Jannah by one degree. Except that Allah will raise your rank in Jannah by one degree, and He will erase one sin for you, for every sajda. So when you do two rak'ahs, you'll be performing how many sajdas? Four sajdas in every two rak'ahs. So nothing is lost with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more you pray, the more you get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until you become a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know what is a wali? As I said, the best translation that is found there is close friend, even though I say it with some reservation. But when we talk about friendship, you usually they say Ibrahim alayhi salam, Khalilur Rahman, again translated as close friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But again, yani English is will never fulfill the exact meaning that is meant in the Arabic language. But anyway, this is a translation. So wali of Allah, someone who is under the protection of Allah, someone who has a close, very close relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more you keep doing nawafil, you get this closer relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what is the sunnah for Jum'ah prayer? Another confusion. Are we supposed to do two or four after Jum'ah? Now, before Jum'ah, ya ikhwan, there is no specific sunnah, prescribed sunnah. Why? Because when Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam talked about Jum'ah and about the excellence of those who go early to Jum'ah, and they take a bath at home, take a shower at home, and they go early to Jum'ah, he said, ثُمَّ صَلَّى مَا قُدِّرَ لَهُ. Then he prayed whatever Allah has decreed for him to pray. Pray two, pray four. Most of the people pray two when they come to the masjid, when they come for Jum'ah, they do two rak'ahs, which is fine. But Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, then he prayed ma quddira lahu, whatever Allah has decreed for him to pray. So there is no specific sunnah before Jum'ah. Pray two, pray four, six, eight, ten. If you come 1 hour before Jum'ah, before the imam, the khatib comes to the minbar, and you want to pray 10 rak'ahs, that's your choice. 20 rak'ahs, that's your choice. But at least you pray two rak'ahs, tahiyyat al-masjid, at least. This is the minimum requirement, right? Before you sit down, you pray tahiyyat al-masjid. This is for Jum'ah. After Jum'ah, people are confused. They keep asking this question, are we supposed to pray four or two? Now, يعني, we have a hadith, sahiha, in Sahih Muslim, من كان مصليا بعد الجمعة فليصلي أربعا. Whoever wants to pray after Jum'ah, let him pray four rak'ahs. This is the statement of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying, if you want to pray after Jum'ah, do four rak'ahs, right? Two by two. But we have a hadith that he prayed at home two rak'ahs. So the ulama, they said, if you pray at home, you do two rak'ahs. If you do them at the masjid, pray four. But this is not a good solution. Why? Because Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to encourage Muslims to do all the sunan at home, right? So there is another interpretation. They said he encouraged Muslims to pray four rak'ahs after Jum'ah, but he offered two at home to show that it is okay to do four, two. To say like, either you do four or you do two rak'ahs, both options are fine. He would sometimes ask command the Muslims to do something, but he would do something different to show that it is permissible to do it. What I ask you to do is not highly recommended, is not wajib. Yeah, I mean, it's okay, that's fine if you do two rak'ahs. Because he himself offered two rak'ahs at home. So either you pray two or four, that's fine. But if you want to follow his instruction and his guidance, he said, if you want to pray after Jum'ah, do four rak'ahs. And it's better to do them at home, because that was his recommendation, alayhi salatu wasalam. You do them in the masjid, that's fine. That is your choice. And you will be rewarded for your nawafil, voluntary prayers, inshallah, bidhnillahi ta'ala. جزاكم الله خيرا بارك الله فيكم. We continue inshallah next week. We'd like to talk about all the nawafil prayers inshallah. Duha prayer, about witr, qiyam al-layl. What else? Huh? Sunnah of wudu. Yani, so we try inshallah to include all these prayers in this halaqat. So maybe we need another two halaqat to cover all these prayers. Tfadal brother. If someone missed like prayers for years, right? Yeah, you can do them at any time you want. No, the try to avoid maybe this between Fajr and Fajr and sunrise, and try to avoid the time between Asr and Maghrib, and you can do them at any time. And also there are two ways of doing them. Some people they add a farida after every farida, and this will be like you'll be doing one Fajr after Fajr. That's fine. That's fine. There's no problem with that. If you do it this way, do them this way. If it is easier for you, the ulama, they said you do whatever it's easy for you. And you do another Dhuhr prayer after the Dhuhr prayer. And you do another Asr prayer after Asr prayer. But it is also permissible if you have time at home and you want to do them like you do one day or 2 days or 3 days at 10 o'clock in the morning at home. You have some time, you're staying at home. At 10 o'clock between 10 and 11, or in the afternoon between 3 and 4, you want to pray one day or 2 days or 3 days, like Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, and Isha, and then another Fajr, that's fine. That's okay. Both ways are fine. For those who missed prayers in the past. We must come to the prayer?
At least 10 minutes before the qama. That's what my opinion is. I mean, what result I got. Because when we start the prayers, normally there is one line, and when you finish, you will see three or four lines. So it's mean we are not praying those sunnah. There's no time.
Yeah, the sunnah, if you do it at home, that's fine, and this is better. But Sometimes, for example, I have problem with the sunnah prayer for Fajr prayer. I cannot do them at home because if I do, I wait till Fajr prayer is in, I do them at home, I'll miss my Fajr prayer in the masjid. So what I do, I come to the masjid and I do them in the masjid, even though I prefer to do my sunnah prayers at home. But for Fajr prayer, I cannot wait until. So anyway, we encourage people to come early for the salah. But we cannot make it an obligation for them to come 10 minutes before. If they come 1 minute before and they catch the salah, they are fine, and they will get the full reward of Salat al-Jama'ah if they come 1 minute or 30 seconds before Salat al-Jama'ah. If you come to the masjid and 30 seconds before the iqamah, right, and you don't do tahiyat al-masjid, and you start praying with the imam, and this is what you are supposed to do, You are not going to be blamed for missing Tahiyyat al-Masjid. Tahiyyat al-Masjid is sunnah, mu'akkada. It is a highly recommended sunnah. But you are not going to get blamed because this salat will suffice against Tahiyyat al-Masjid. The purpose of Tahiyyat al-Masjid is not to sit down before you offer any salah. So if you offer a nafila prayer or you offer the farida prayer, there is no need for Tahiyyat al-Masjid, right? You see what I'm saying? So whether you come 5 minutes or 10 minutes, of course if you come 10 minutes, it's better because you're going to pray sunnah, sit down, and you usually, people when they sit down, wait for the prayer, they are in the state of prayer. And you will be remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reading Quran, making dhikr. So you'll be doing something good, right? So it's better. So the one who comes 10 minutes is better than the one who come in 1 minute or 2 minutes before. But anyone who catches the Salat al-Jama'ah, he will get the reward of Salat al-Jama'ah with the Imam and with the congregation. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tawfiq al-jami'ah. Yes, brother, I'll come to you.
Is it fair to say that those 12 highly recommended do not apply to Jama'ah because there are no four rak'ahs before Jama'ah which are highly recommended?
Yeah, you can say that Jama'ah is an exception. You can say Jama'ah is an exception. Wallahu a'lam. Yeah. Because there is no specific highly recommended sunnah before Jama'ah. Yeah. Yes, tawadda. So there are two opinions about it. Yani Imam Malik and Abu Hanifa, they said if you come to the masjid and the Imam is offering the khutbah, you don't pray, you sit down and listen to the khutbah. Imam Shafi'i and Imam Ahmed ibn Hanbal, they said tahiyyat al-masjid has a specific reason. Regardless, even if the Imam is on the minbar and you come inside the masjid, you offer these two rak'ahs. And this is the most correct opinion. Why? Because during the time of Rasulullah ﷺ, he was offering the khutbah, and someone came to the masjid, and he sat down without praying. So Rasulullah ﷺ told him, stand up, offer two rak'ahs very quickly, offer two light rak'ahs, and then sit down. So what we are supposed to do when we come to the masjid, we offer two light rak'ahs. Even if you do them with al-Fatiha only, without a surah, that would be enough, and it would be better because you want to listen to the imam. So you combine between the two, inshallah. You offer two light rak'ahs, and you start listening to the imam. Tafadhal, akhi. Yeah, if you miss, like, for example, before dhuhr, the four rak'ahs, you can do them after dhuhr. If you miss the sunnah before fajr, you do them after fajr or after sunrise. Right? You're talking about the highly recommended, the 12 rak'ahs, right? If you miss them before dhuhr, you do them after dhuhr. Miss them before fajr, you do them after fajr. Na'am, tfaddal. And the sisters, if you have a question, you can ask, right? Pardon? Why people change the place, yani? Well, some ulama, they said it is mustahab, recommended based on the ahadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you should, yani, create a gap between the farida and the sunnah prayer. And the gap, this could be dhikr, could be changing the place. It's something recommended, yani, it's not highly confirmed, it's not highly recommended. If you pray sunnah in your place, that's fine. But based on this hadith, some people prefer to change the place. Some of the ulama, they said, it's just ijtihad, right? Ijtihad. So they have their own interpretation. Is an interpretation, was not confirmed by a hadith, that each place will testify for you on the Day of Judgment. Allah, could be true. Tafadhal. Pardon?
We get a house in the Jannah, right?
Yeah, for praying 12 rak'ahs.
Yeah, so we get a house. So let's say we pray like
a new house. For every 12 rak'ahs.
Can we use those houses? Can we use one of them here? Like, can we get
some? I mean, you're talking about a different world, you see. Jannah is something different.
Ask God to use two of those.
Yeah, Allah, asking Allah to send you one here in this life, you don't have to buy. Yeah, this dunya will never be perfect. So you have to work for it hard and save money. So you can buy it in a halal way, inshallah. By the way, there could be a project, the group of Muslim scholars working with the credit union in Alberta about a project, inshallah, for halal mortgages. So hopefully we'll hear some news. They're discussing it here in the parliament, here in Alberta, and most likely it will be approved. Most likely it will be approved. We hope that, inshallah, this project will be successful and we hear some news in December or January, inshallah. And the Muslims will be able to buy houses in a halal way. Yes? Just a second. Do you have questions here, sisters? You don't have. Okay. Oh, at work?
Yeah.
At work, I said, if you don't have time, yeah, do the farida and it's okay. But sunnah, you can make qada, right? And you can, if you miss sunnah al-dhuhr, for example. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam missed it one time. He prayed it after asr. You can pray it after asr, or it has specific reason, right? Or after maghrib. That's fine. Yeah, so yes, you do the farida if you don't have time, if you are restricted. Yes?
There is somewhere that Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to take a quick nap between Dhuhr and Fajr.
That's right, yeah. He used to take a quick nap after he prays the Sunnah of Fajr, and then goes to the masjid and pray with the congregation. So the ulama had a discussion, a long discussion about this nap. Is it sunnah or not? It's not confirmed. We're not sure why he... Some of them, they said maybe he was tired and he used to take a quick nap. And he cannot say, confirm that this is a sunnah and we are supposed to do it. But if you do it because you love to follow the steps of Rasulullah ﷺ, the lifestyle of Rasulullah ﷺ, hopefully you'll be rewarded. Most likely you will be rewarded for trying your best to follow his lifestyle. Yeah, right? But it's not confirmed. We cannot say for sure it's part of the sunnah that you pray these two rak'ahs, sunnah for fajr, take a quick nap, and then you go for Salat al-Fajr, right? If you don't do it, that's fine, because we're not sure if it is sunnah, part of the sunnah or not. Yeah. Yes, Fadal. Can you keep quiet, please? Please, boys? Boys, Hamza? Can you sit down? Fadal. Yes. Pardon?
Why can't we just ask for a house?
You ask, you go there and ask without praying the 12 rak'ahs?
Yeah.
You will have a house in Jannah, there is no doubt about it. But you'll have many houses because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about a kingdom, not one house. So you'll have many houses. But we do these things because we want to expand our kingdom in Jannah. We want to have thousands of houses in Jannah. So every day you are in a different property. Every week you are in a different place. And most likely these places maybe will be different. Their design and their colors, maybe. We have the freedom to imagine, right? But whatever we imagine is different. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for His servants is beyond our imagination, right? ما لا عين رأت ولا أذن سمعت ولا خطر على قلب بشر. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Hadith Qudsi, right? I have prepared for my servant what no eyes have ever seen, no ear has ever heard, and no heart has ever imagined. Whatever you imagine, you have the freedom to imagine, right? To encourage yourself. But whatever you imagine is beyond your imagination. So you will have your own houses, you have your own kingdom in Jannah. We just need to increase, we want to increase the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannah. We want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us more in Jannah, right? It's okay. It's okay to be greedy about al-akhirah. Be greedy about al-akhirah. That's fine, right? The more you are greedy about al-akhirah, about the deeds of al-akhirah, you will do more bi-idhni Allah ta'ala, and you will be a better person, a better Muslim. Jazakum Allah khair. I think we should finish here. It's 9:06. So next week we continue, inshallah, with the same program. Jazakum Allah khair and barakallahu fikum.